From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we continue with our Coastline candidate interviews, and on this edition, we'll hear from the two Democrats seeking seats on Brunswick County's Board of Education. There are five members on the board, one representing each district in Brunswick County. The four-year terms are staggered, and elections are held every 2 years. In 2016, districts 1, 2, and 4 have open seats. No Democrats filed for District 1, however, which means that Republican Ed Lemon has no formal opposition. Write-in candidates are permitted. In District 2, Republican incumbent Catherine Cook faces Democratic challenger Sharon Woodard Crawford. And in District 4, Republican Ellen Milligan edged out longtime board member Shirley Babson, who had served on the board for 24 years, albeit during two different time frames. Milligan faces Democrat Marty Menser. Nearly 82,000 residents in Brunswick County are white. Almost 9,000 are black, less than 1,000 are Hispanic, and about 3,300 fall into a category called other. The majority of registered voters, 35,000, are Republicans. Unaffiliated voters make up the next largest category at 32,000, and registered Democrats make up the third group at just shy of 27,000 people. Today's show is split into two segments. In this first half, we meet Democrat Sharon Woodard Crawford, a political newcomer. Sharon Woodard Crawford, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
This live Thursday show is your chance to get to know the candidates. If you have a question for the Brunswick County Board of Education candidates, give us a call today at 910-343-1138 or email your question to coastline@whqr.org. The phone lines are open now. Sharon Crawford Woodard, tell us, or I just flipped your names, Sharon Woodard Crawford. Woodard, as you said, is your maiden name,
yes.
And Crawford is your married name, and you use all three.
Yes.
Tell us why you're running for Board of Education in Brunswick County. What do you bring to this that other people don't?
I don't have any experience when it comes to politics. When I say the slate is wiped clean, it is truly clean. And I think, in a sense, that's a good thing because it means that I can be objective. I can see things with a new mind, new sight, new vision. I've been a parent of Brunswick County school system since my oldest was in preschool. And back then, they actually had preschool at Brunswick County. There were some of the schools that had it. Majority of my kids, though, went through Longwood Head Start. And I think that my son, there are things that he struggled with while he was attending Brunswick County Schools that could have been avoided had we had the assistance of the school system. Many times a parent in Brunswick County School will feel like they're left alone, like you don't have any support when it comes to the administration. And I think that that's sad when you have a parent that's calling out there for help and trying to seek resources and can't find the appropriate resources to help your child.
And what kind of resources do you think should have been available to your son at the time?
Well, not only my son, my daughter as well. First of all, I want to say I adopted my children. And many times when you adopt a child, I refer to it as a cake, but you don't know what all the ingredients are. And you want to give that child all the love and support that you can, but sometimes there may be mental illnesses or behavior problems that you aren't told about when you first get them. And you just have to try to figure it out as you go along. And as it happens, especially with my daughter, there were some behavior issues, and I've contacted the administration, I've contacted the principals and the school, the teachers, with no prevail. It was like instead of them trying to help me with my child, they wanted to penalize the parent or say, well, maybe you didn't parent that child appropriately, or maybe you didn't do this appropriately, instead of trying to figure out what it would take to help my child comprehend the lesson plans. We're going to get into a little later, but sometimes we want to treat each child as if it's cookie cutter system, and you can't do that. You have to look at each child as an individual and figure out how that child comprehends and learns.
So if you were to be elected to the school board, how would that observation that you just made about each child needing its own kind of approach and the school system actually providing resources based on the needs of the child, how would that translate into policy?
I think that we, one thing we've done in the past is we've taken out the TAs from the classroom. Back in the day, teacher's assistance was a great resource for the teachers. If that child needed extra help with reading, they can tell the TA what that child needed, and that TA could sit over there one-on-one with that child. And meanwhile, the teacher can continue on with the lesson plan with those other children that weren't having any help and that were able to comprehend. And meanwhile, that helped that child that was having trouble continue to catch up with the rest. Well, nowadays, we don't do that. If that child can't get it, oh, well, we're using Common Core, and this is what the structure says, and that's what we're going to do, and we're moving forward.
And so you're saying that child is going to be left behind.
Exactly. Even though we teach, no child left behind.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with the two Democratic candidates for Brunswick County's Board of Education. With us right now is Sharon Woodard Crawford. If you'd like to ask your own question, give us a call during this Thursday live show at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Pat from Carolina Beach, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I wanted to ask the candidate when she was referring to resources not being available to help her children. Sharon, are you referring to the school principal? Are you referring to the central office staff, superintendent, et cetera, or school board? Which group did not provide your children with resources that you say they needed and didn't get?
I think that a lot of times the principals can't do any more than the administrative staff allows them to do, first of all. I think that sometimes principals' hands are tied, and I know that they have a hard job ahead of them. I mean, look how many students are at West Brunswick. And so, you know, I want to give them that benefit of a doubt. But however, when you come to a child that has behavior issues and that kind of sort, instead of taking on that child and looking to see why that child's having so many disciplinary problems and issues, you ship them off to another school called BCA, and you set them in a corner as if that's going to fix the problem, and it doesn't. All it does is move the problem from one school to the next instead of trying to figure out what that child as an individual needed.
Pat, thanks so much for your call. But she asks a very good question about what you ran into, though, when you said, okay, hey, my son needs help. So who kind of shut the door?
Who shut the door for me would have been the teachers. All they did was write up that this child can't understand, this child has behavior issues, and we can't deal with them. So it's like they kind of cut it off because I understand they had a job to do. Their job was to teach the general student population as a whole, but meanwhile you had this one child that was having issues. So instead of trying to see what that child needed, you shipped them off to BCA, and I didn't think that that was appropriate.
Tell us about what it's like on the campaign trail for you. This is a race that's fairly far down the ballot, which makes it hard to raise money and probably hard to get the word out about who you are and what you're doing. Are you out at early voting sites these days meeting people? And what is it like campaigning in a district that is primarily Republican?
I have been to some churches. I have been to a few events. I have been involved with the debates. And I'm being honest, it's been scary.
What's been the scariest part of it for you?
This is new to me. I guess I was scared as to how it was going to be perceived because being that I don't have any political experience, I do have a voice and I do have opinions and I do have ideals that I think that would work for the school system. And there have been many times when I have talked to different candidates and had talked to administration, and instead of them listening to me, I feel like they just kind of pushed me aside as if I didn't know what I was talking about. And I don't think that's fair. I think that school board ought to be able to listen to the parents. I know that they do have a parent meeting once a month. And from what I understand, only one of the school board members attend that meeting every month. I think that they need to be more involved in that to hear what the parents are saying. I mean, that's what we're there for. We're supposed to support the students as well as the parents. But I feel like the school board is falling short on that.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your background. What do you do for a living, and how long have you been living in Brunswick County?
My family, my mother was born here in Brunswick County. My father was in the military, so we retired back here. I graduated from West Brunswick High School. Back when I was at West Brunswick High School, there was teachers like Miss Winfrey, there was teachers like Miss Aldrich, and Miss Kathleen Williams. I will never forget these instructors because they made a difference in my life. I remember that Miss Kathleen, one time she told me, she says, "Whatever you do, always be a lady. Always present yourself as a lady." And that's something that I took to heart. Miss Winfrey got me involved in FBLA, and she got me hooked up with, at that time, it was the Shallow Women's Club. And I was doing public speaking back then. Didn't really know what public speaking was. I just loved to talk. But Shallow Women's Club sponsored me and took me from the district to the state. I went national. I went all the way to New York with Shallow Women's Club. You know, we as women of today need to reach back and support some of those young girls at the schools and let them know, look, you can make it. You can be somebody. I graduated from Brunswick Community College with business administration. I have 2 degrees, one in business administration. At BCC, it was in education, general education. But at Millermont, I got my business administration and my medical assistant degree. And after that, I went and got my my certification in nursing home administration. And I did that for the past 15 years. The last position I held was in Greensboro. And when I moved back home, I couldn't find a job. So I got back on the school bus. I drove school bus through high school, and I never thought I would have to get back on that bus again. But you know what? It was a challenge, and I'm kind of glad I did because it helped me see things that needed to be changed at the school. And it let me know that bus drivers need to be supported, teachers need to be supported, and it starts at the head and trickles down. We have to, you know, show that we're concerned about their issues. And I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just going to let you finish your thought. But what do you think needs to be done about the low-performing schools in Brunswick County, such as Leland Middle School, Cedar Grove Middle, Supply, and Jesse May Monroe Elementary Schools?
I think that we need to, I mentioned earlier about consider each child as an individual. I do not support that Common Core because Common Core is set up so that every child is taught the same. You have some children that are audio learners. You have others that are visual learners. That's why I think we need to do what's best so that that child can comprehend. And I think that if you've got a child that's not doing good in math, then we need to figure out how that child learns. My sister went to school for education. She graduated from UNCW in a finance degree and accounting as a minor. And so when my children have trouble in math, she would take them down and do the homework with them. Well, now math has changed. So even though the answer still comes out the same, she teaches them the old method. So they do the homework the old school way. But then when they get to school, get this, I have seen it where my little brothers have gotten marks marked off for their homework assignment because they did the answer, they came up with the answer the old school way versus the new way of learning. Now you help me understand that. Because 1 + 1 is always going to be 2. I don't care how you add it up.
Do you support or oppose the proposed $152 million school bond, which is on the November ballot?
I do support it. And since I've been out here on the candidacy and going to different sites, I've learned so much more about it. I do support it. But I think that the funds need to be utilized appropriately. I want to make sure that the funds aren't spread out to cushion administration.
Is that a concern of yours?
That is a concern of mine, because if you go up to the Board of Education, you'll find that the administrator has an assistant, and then the assistant has an assistant. I don't understand that concept. To me, that is a position that could be phased out, and those funds can go towards the school system, can go towards putting a TA to work. Actually, at the price that they're being paid, it may pay for two TAs. And there was a time when TAs couldn't make a lot of money in the school, but we allowed them to drive buses. So that helped with the bus shortage. And what did we do? We took the TAs off a bus, and then we made the TA choose. Either you're going to drive a bus or you're going to work in the school. And then after that, we got rid of the TAs. So we totally phased them out altogether. I mean, it's like we defeated the purpose.
So you think then there could be some cutting when it comes to administration and management, but there needs to be beefing up of the actual teaching staff?
Yes, yes, definitely. And I think that that's where the shortcoming is. And I think that if we support these teachers and give them the pay that they should have, we won't be losing good teachers to South Carolina. I've seen teachers that go across the state line to work. I remember there was a chorus teacher, Miss Leanne Smith. And Miss Leanne took West Brunswick Chorus all the way to nationals, and they won. And when she came back to West Brunswick, she asked them for a pay raise. They declined her pay raise. After taking the school to nationals, really? So then she went to South Carolina, and they gave her a bonus and a pay raise, because they appreciated somebody of her caliber. And I think that's where the problem is. We don't appreciate our teachers.
And so what would you do then? Is it just a pay question? What would you do to decrease the teacher turnover rate in Brunswick County?
I think pay is part of the problem, but I think that they need assistance in these classrooms. Teachers are having to deal with behavior issues, and the TA, they have no TA to help assist them. So therefore, they're losing control over the classrooms, because you have so many children that have mental illnesses and behavior issues. These days and time, the number of kids with ADHD is remarkable. I just can't believe it. But that's what's going on these days. And we have to make adjustments for that. That way we can be able to educate our children.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today, we're talking with the two Democratic candidates for Brunswick County's Board of Education. Right now, we're meeting Sharon Woodard Crawford. If you'd like to ask your own question of the candidates, give us a call during this live show Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. How are you different from your Republican opponent, and why do you think you'd make a better fit for the Brunswick County Board of Education than she would?
We are totally different.
How, specifically?
I mean, one thing is she opposes the bond. She thinks that we ought to pay off the current debt right now. And from what I understand, the current debt will be paid off in the next 2 or 3 years. So my thing is, we're going to make children that are in the system right now suffer because of a debt that's getting ready to get paid off anyway. And from what I understand, even if we incorporate that debt, it's only going to raise the tax revenue, $80? I believe that's what I've heard.
It depends. But yeah, I think for a $200,000 home, that homeowner would be paying around $75 or $76.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to have children neglected an educational experience because of $80, really? I don't see it's like comparing apples to oranges. I think we need to go ahead and take care of this matter while we have it, instead of saying that these children need to go ahead and suffer these next 2 or 3 years until this debt is paid off. I think that's uncalled for.
The school voucher program allows parents to use state funds for the school of their choice. Do you support that program?
I think that The school vouchers, I understand that there's a reason for that, and I think that we ought to have a choice on where we send our children, but I think that those schools ought to be held accountable for the resources that they received. I think that we ought to make them be accountable for how they're spending the money, and I think that the public ought to be able to look at that. It shouldn't be private, because if you're going to receive public funds, then I want to know where you're spending my money. I mean, that's the way I feel about it.
How do you think the school system should be handling HB2?
HB2.
That's House Bill 2. That's the bill that was passed earlier this year that LGBT proponents say stripped protections for that community, and it also requires people in public buildings, which would include the school system, to use the bathroom according to the gender on their birth certificate.
Yes.
Not the gender with which they identify.
I understand that. Well, I'm going to be honest. I think that boys need to be boys. And if you're a boy, you need to be going to the boys' bathroom. I don't like the thought of my daughter or my granddaughter going to a bathroom and a man is beside them using the same stall. I do know that when we go to airports, they have unisex bathrooms all day long, but they're going in the bathroom by themselves. So maybe if we did that at the school and we had those bathrooms that were set aside for unisex, and if they went into that particular bathroom, I think it would be okay. But I don't want them to be going into the same stall. So if you've got a man urinating beside a woman, I hate to be blunt, but I think that they ought to be separate. But I think that if you had unisex bathrooms that were set aside for them, then that's fine.
In this particular election, even if both Democratic candidates are elected, you will still be a political minority on the board. There will be three Republicans. So what would you say to voters who say, well, there's no point in my voting for a Democratic candidate because either way, if there's ever a split, on a partisan split on an issue, the Democrats are never going to win the point?
That is one of my biggest fears, that I'll win and not be able to make a difference. So with that being said, I think that that's a risk I've got to take. I've got to let my voice be heard. If I sit back and I don't say anything, then I'm not even trying. I feel that we need to try. If we don't try and things don't go our way, then it's our fault. I think that we ought to step out there, and that's what I've done. I said earlier that this was kind of scary, you know, because this is virgin land that I'm going on. I've never been through this before, but at the same note, I'm excited about the opportunity.
We hear so much about the polarization, especially right now, 12 days out from Election Day, the polarization of the electorate. What will you do on the school board to unify the dialogue and change the tone in this country, in this community, in the county?
I think it takes one voice. I cannot believe the support. It kind of makes me tear up that I've received since I've said I was going to run for this. And it only takes one person to make a change, but it has to start with one person.
And how do you make that change? How do you change the tone of the dialogue?
So many times, I was at the school today, and I was asking different folks. I said, are you going to vote? No, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. Our forefathers died for us to have that privilege to vote. So how dare we sit back and say our vote doesn't matter? To me, that's a disgrace. That's like saying that everything that they worked for was in vain, and we can't do that.
So when you think about your top priorities, if you are elected to the school board, you're wrapping up your first term. It's the year 2020, and you're looking back. What has changed on the school board? How have Brunswick County schools improved because of your presence?
Oh, now that's I like that. I like that question. Okay, how things would have changed. One, we would have taken some of our decrepit schools and remodeled them. There are schools that still have trailers. They had trailers in 1986 when I was there. And here it is, 2016, and my children are still sitting in those same trailers. Well, we need to change that. I think we need to build classrooms. I think we need to buy new buses, which this year, I will say this, they did buy new buses this year. Kudos to the school board on that. We need to add TAs to the school program. We need to give the TAs the option to drive the buses to help with the shortage in the bus drivers. We need to give our bus drivers benefits. We need also, I tell you something else, the schools need to be kept cleaner as well. I had a situation at West, and I want to thank God for the principal there. The principal did a good job for me. I had called and was complaining, actually, because I had been to some of the schools and they weren't clean, and he actually fixed that for me. He stepped up to the plate.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews on 91.3 FN. Sharon Woodard Crawford, Democratic candidate for Brunswick County's Board of Education, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
When we return after the break, we'll meet the other Democratic candidate in this race, Marty Menser. If you'd like to ask a question, you can call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email your question to coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. Listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, we're meeting the Democratic candidates for Brunswick County's Board of Education. And with us now to answer your questions, Marty Menser, who has lived in Brunswick County since 1988. She's taught at three different schools within the Brunswick County school system and just retired last year. If you'd like to ask Marty Menser a question on this live Thursday edition of Coastline, call us now at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. The phones are now open on this Thursday. Marty Menser, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to be here at WHQR, and I want to say a thanks to all my supporters out there, and also want to recognize three endorsements of support from three fine organizations who have confidence in me: the Southeastern Labor Council, Brunswick County Association of Educators, and Brunswick County Association of Realtors. And I'm delighted to be here to speak about a topic I'm very passionate about, education.
And tell us why you decided to run for the Board of Education. What are you bringing to the table that you think the other candidates really don't bring?
Well, what I'm bringing is a voice that is not afraid to speak up on important issues. As a teacher in the classroom, hands-on with students for over 26 years in Brunswick County Schools, I feel I'm the missing piece on the school board that can give the teacher perspective, the voice, the connection to our school board.
How does that translate into policy? As a teacher, what do you think the school board doesn't understand?
Well, first of all, as bringing to the policy issues, teachers directly impact students, and that directly shows in their performance and learning. So with the teacher perspective and the hiring of other teachers and administrators and managing that, I add that voice that knows what is needed from within the classroom.
And are there specifics you can give us about what's needed that you think just it's not there right now?
Well, one issue I'd like to address is the teacher morale, and it is low at the moment. I just read statistics. We know that teacher pay is low. We're 46th in teacher pay in the nation in North Carolina, and what they've taken away from us at Raleigh, such as teacher assistants, such as master's pay, such as longevity pay, have discouraged us. Now, I'm going to give a quote from June Atkinson, our state superintendent. It says, teachers did not go into teaching expecting to become millionaires, but we didn't expect to go in taking a vow of poverty either. And I feel like that piece is missing from our school board, that if we can, we have so much good teaching going on, innovative teaching, and we need to celebrate that, celebrate what's going right. For example, 82% proficiency on our eighth grade science test in last year. So celebrate that and bring that knowledge to our school board.
How does the school board impact teacher pay, and how can the school board make a difference when it comes to policy? Because we've had this discussion at the state level, certainly.
Right.
What does the school board do?
Thank you for asking that, because locally we need to find ways to fund a raise in teacher supplements and to reinstate longevity pay at the local level. I know New Hanover County is doing some really good things to draw in teachers at high-risk schools where it's more difficult and challenging as a teacher. They offer a 14% raise over what Brunswick County is offering. So some of our teachers are coming up here to teach, and we want our good North Carolina teaching going on all over our state. But in particular, Brunswick County, where we are losing teachers across the state line when they can get $10,000 more per year. So we have to find locally ways to retain teachers, even with affordable housing. Perhaps State Employees Credit Union can build housing for teachers to bring them in and give them something affordable so they don't have to work two jobs to make ends meet.
So clearly, teacher pay and teacher morale is the issue that you're leading with.
Yes, ma'am.
What are some of your other priorities if you were to be elected to the board?
Well, thank you. One element I really want to address is the dropout rate in Brunswick County. It went up slightly, whereas neighboring Pender County came down on theirs. So we need to address that. And one way to address it, I feel like, is expanding the vocational education programs. Creating a school that could give kids the trades, the workforce skills they need to stay in school. We have a prestigious early college high school that is addressing the college-bound student very well, and I would like to have a same type of education for our kids that have mechanical talents and needs. And so we need to expand those trades to do that.
You're talking about a CTE school that along the lines of what New Hanover County is working on.
Exactly. And I've been in contact with other school board members in other districts that are doing very good things with that area of trades and career technical areas as well. Thank you.
You're listening to Coastline. Today we're talking with the Democratic candidates for Brunswick County's Board of Education. In this segment, we're meeting Marty Menser. If you'd like to ask her your own question, give us a call during Thursday's live show at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Running for school board cannot be an easy job. It's harder to raise money than it is for candidates farther up the ballot. How are you getting the word out about who you are and what you're doing? And when you go to the polls during early voting, I'm sure you're finding a lot of people who know exactly which presidential candidate they're voting for. But do people even know who the candidates are for school board?
Well, that's one of my gifts as a teacher, being able to contact people to people, in face. I also do have social media, Facebook, Menser for School Board. But I'm out there at the polls, and I'm out there in the classroom still. I retired, as you said, but I'm still substitute teaching, coaching. And until I get a seat on the school board, I can do that. But I want people to see a face and know that they can trust the teacher. And so many fine folks of Brunswick County know me from my years teaching or coaching their children, and now those children are grown and coming up to the polls to vote, and I'm trying to educate them to do that.
And so you have been out to the polls?
Yes, ma'am. I went the first day, and of course I had to go after my school day, but from 3 to 6, and there's a good turnout at the polls. I have some fine literature that Miss Barbara Stanley of Skipper Graphics, a shout out to her, that put together some campaign literature, and I received some really good endorsements and donations that have been very helpful.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Marty Menser, who is running for Brunswick County's Board of Education. If you'd like to ask her your own question, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Adam from Oak Island, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. What's your question?
My question for the candidate is, what would you feel about the reintegration of schools? I think if you go back and historically look when reintegration was mandated, standardized test scores rose across the board, that's for both black and white students, of about 50% in some cases. And what would your thoughts be on, you know, promoting some kind of reintegration process for our schools?
Thanks for your question, Adam.
Okay, in Brunswick County, as I know from teaching and coaching, we're very well integrated. We have equal populations, black and white students. I mean, there's an even pretty much in all schools. So I'm not sure what the question on, I definitely believe we need to be integrated side by side, and that will, that has definitely helped us understand each other. And in programs that I have created, such as Basketball Poets, it's well integrated with, I guess what I'm saying is the lower poverty issue is across spectrum on racial.
It's less of a racial issue in Brunswick County than it is, say, in New Hanover, is what you're saying.
I feel that is true. I feel like the socioeconomic issue is the big issue, where students are not having all the resources they need at an early age in order to enter school, and maybe 2.5 years behind developmentally because they don't have those resources in pre-K or in education with books in their households and so forth.
What is the Basketball Poets program?
I'm excited to talk about this because our teachers in Brunswick County, there's so many fine, innovative teachers that find a way to connect with kids and get the reading element up. And I was given a small group of students at Supply Elementary School that were low readers and at-risk students, and got hooked on reading through a little book called Love That Dog by nationally known and Newbery Award winner Sharon Creech. And basketball is king in North Carolina, so I used that as a carrot. And we actually connected with Ms. Sharon Creech, and she visited our school and donated hundreds of books. She's a wonderful advocate. So what we have to do with these innovative programs is connect with our community. We have so many resources that can be used within our communities and support those innovative ways of reaching a kid. I say the gym is a magic place, and that's where I taught for 26 years, and find ways to bring in the reading element through activity and movement.
So how do you help me here?
So
you played basketball with the kids. You said we can play a game of basketball and then we're going to read?
Or
are they reciting poetry while they're dribbling?
Well,
how does that work?
Thank you, Rachel. It's a little bit of both. We were reading. And to get them to read and write poetry and discover poetry, the reward was basketball. But often we would do movements and often have a basketball right on stage with us. We performed poetry, Langston Hughes, Bring Me All Your Dreams, You Dreamers, or Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright by William Blake. And so those students, and even today I see them in the community grown, and they remember that program fondly. One young lady said, I just found my basketball poet T-shirt, Miss Mincer. Are you still teaching? And I said, no. But I want to make an impact at the next level, which is another reason I'm running for Board of Ed.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews, talking with Marty Mincer, who is a Democrat running for Brunswick County's Board of Education. And we have Tara from Leland. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty and Coastline. I am a recovering addict, and in my recovery, I see children 16, 17, and 18 years old that are struggling with heroin and opiate addiction, and I'm wondering, as a candidate, how you plan on affecting that, treating and preventing our children from using drugs at such a young age?
Tara, thanks so much for that question.
Tara, thank you, and thank you for addressing that problem, and I wish you the best in trying to overcome it. As a teacher, that's what we do. I've had students at a very young age affected by drug addiction. It is a huge problem in Brunswick County. As a matter of fact, one of our candidates for Board of Commissioners, Wesley Hickman, wants to directly impact on that issue as well. But I know that education is the key, and that if we can reach our young people at a young age to get them excited about learning and positive things. I also happen to surf, which is funny, because that activity takes them into the water and away from the atmosphere that they can be in. So that we have to find positive atmosphere for them to get excited about. It's a challenge in Brunswick County because we don't always have a place they can go and hang out at community centers, though we do partner with the parks. And I would say if we can have a center of places that they can go to hang out in a positive way, like my basketball poets could be involved to increase positiveness, I guess you want to say, so that they won't be pulled into the drug addiction.
Do you support or oppose the $152 million school bond question that's on the November ballot?
Thank you, Rachel. I vigorously support the bond. I was on the bond committee serving and trying to educate the public about the bond. It is for infrastructure needs that are currently lacking in our schools, especially in the northern end of the county. We have growth that is very positive for our community to bring families in. We have good schools, but we need to build more. And so Town Creek Middle School will be built so that we won't have to redistrict and bus. And then we are going to put classroom additions and technology into all of our schools. And it just so they know the cost, it's $80 per $200,000 property, and that pays off the 1999 bond as well, which was the last time we had a bond to help our students.
How are you different from your opponent, and why do you think you'd be a better choice for the school board?
I guess just my energy. I really have a passion about serving. And my reason for running is I made a promise to my students. I've got their back. I've got the colleagues. And I just made a promise also to a respected supervisor that when I retired, I would be refired up about education and serve on the school board to do that, make that. It's definitely not my comfort, but, you know, zone. However, because of my energy and my passion and my creative endeavors, I'm also a team player. I listen to the other side, and I get myself educated. I've got my little folder in front of me for all my facts. If I don't know the answer, I'll say so, and I'll work to find it.
Well, even from your point of view, the best-case scenario would be both Democrats get elected. So let's say that happens. You still are in a political minority on the board. So if any decision ever comes down to a partisan issue, you're going to lose the point. So what would you say to voters who are concerned about that and concerned about voting for you?
Well, Rachel, that's a wonderful question. I feel like education is a nonpartisan issue in so many ways, and we don't need petty politics in our school board. And so I have already reached out and spoken to the other candidates, and even Ed Lemon, who's already won a seat as a Republican. And he's also a former principal, and his wife's been a teacher. We've talked, and we can find ways, creative ways, to address our needs that don't become political, but do the best for our students.
Do you think the Board of Education should be a nonpartisan race?
Absolutely. I really do feel that, and I'm going to look into that if I get elected as to how we can create that, because many counties and districts do have nonpartisan school boards. I just don't want our politics to interfere with the fine education that needs to occur for our students.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Democrat Marty Menser, who is running for Brunswick County's Board of Education. If you'd like to ask your own question, you have a few minutes left. You can give us a call during the live Thursday show at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Amy from Southport, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a child in high school in Brunswick County and has only the opportunity to study Spanish at her school. What is your opinion about giving choices for other languages as far as French or Latin to these students that might want to, you know, have that experience?
Thank you for asking, Amy. I've heard directly from students there needs to be expansion in those courses and also in advanced placement courses at the high school level. We need to give students something they're excited about, and if they want a different language other than Spanish, we need to offer that, because foreign languages enrich all languages, help them read, help them write, help them think, and work in a global society that we have today.
It was about 3 years ago that the school board engaged in a pretty fierce debate over whether the book The Color Purple should be part of the curriculum. There's now a committee that goes over the books that are taught in the Brunswick County school system. Is that process acceptable to you? Do you think that was a good outcome? And how would you, as a school board member, vet books? Do you think you should be vetting books, or should that be left to the educators?
I was involved in that process. I was at a middle school where one of the books came as a challenge, and I wrote a letter in support of the book. I feel it can be reviewed, but we need to hear all issues. And at the school board, I attended the meeting and heard students speak, some of my former students speak in defense of the book, The Color Purple, which is a fine piece of literature that no child should be denied a book. And if a parent chooses for them not to have that book to read, they have other alternative choices. So I think there is a challenge committee, and it's gone through the superintendent and the school board, and it worked out with a good outcome. I just don't want to take too much time on those issues when there might be something more important to deal with.
What do you think needs to be done about the low-performing schools? And you've actually taught at two of these schools, mm-hmm. Leland Middle, Cedar Grove Middle, Supply, and Jesse May Monroe Elementary Schools, I guess are the four that are the most challenged. And you taught at Cedar Grove and Supply Elementary.
Yes. And this is always the challenge. And first of all, I want to celebrate what is going really well, what we're doing right. As I said, the science scores are at the state level of proficiency, above 80%. Our math scores have grown, and we're staying level in reading. We need to look at, as we do with data-driven, you know, instruction. Those are summative assessments. There are other ways to assess learning. And we need to also look at those as positive and see the growth that is occurring. But with the socioeconomics of those particular schools have demographics where 75% of the children are on free and reduced lunch, we're working as teachers to supply them their basic needs of food and clothing at many times. And we work to give them every resource, books, learning, and find a way to connect. I think we need to look at the teachers that are seeing growth in their students and use those teachers as models for other teachers in the county to make the scores come up.
And we have Alicia from Oak Island. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just have a question. I would like to know how you would put a plan in place for teachers to address their concerns to the board without feeling that they will suffer repercussions from it.
Great question, Alicia. Thank you so much for that.
Wonderful. I have done some research. Mr. John Holloman of North Carolina Association of Educators, of which I'm a member, showed me some legislation that passed over in the other parts of our state where teachers would be given that voice and opportunity to speak up about what's going on in their classroom, even if it appears negative, because we want a positive solution, but we have to tell the truth and not face any retaliation or retribution for that. I strongly support and have spoken out as a teacher and had the courage to do so, but some of my colleagues, I know it's difficult to address those important issues. You have to ask a teacher, and so they need to have that voice, and I would support that on the school board.
Let's talk about principals. The district, Brunswick County, has a fairly high principal turnover rate compared to the state as a whole. In Brunswick County, the rate is 16% compared to a statewide rate of 10%. Why might that be, and how would you help to bring that number down?
Once again, we must have the support from the school board level. I know of some fine principals that have left the county. One even wrote a letter to the state port pilot that I read and addressed some concerns about the school board being an intimidating factor for them, and that can affect them leaving us. That cannot happen.
How does the school board intimidate principals?
That is a hot topic, because there are some issues going on in the classroom that maybe some personal values and things of school board members are there to serve our schools. They're there to have sound policy that ensures all students are expressed and safe, and we're entrusted with students 8 hours of a day in our schools and must do the best.
What kind of issues have come up that has caused a principal to go head-to-head with people on the school board?
Are you
talking about curriculum?
Not so much a curriculum as I think some hot topic buttons, maybe the rights of all minority students to have a safe place. I'm even speaking about our our transgender, our homosexual students. As a health educator, I taught the 2009 legislature put in our reproductive education curriculum. These curriculums are very sound and educational, and they've been combated by the school board, who is maybe not understanding the purpose is to educate about these issues, not to enforce policy for one value over another. Does that make sense?
So how, let's take HB2,
mm-hmm.
popular, well, we don't have much time, but quickly, how do you think you would handle that if you could?
All students need to be safe and be protected, and so I support the rights, and within our classrooms, that's what we do, provide a safe zone for all our students.
That's this edition of Coastline.
Thanks
to Marty Mentzer and Sharon Woodard Crawford for joining us today. Remember, one-stop voting is underway and runs through November 5th. You can find a list of early voting sites at whqr.org. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at our website, whqr.org, or get the podcast from the iTunes store. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.